And then when you get to the other side and you see that people are like, wow, and they start to praise what you did, now you got all this momentum and saying the stuff that you did has made a huge impact. That's the stuff that you got to keep striving for. Because if you keep pushing and you keep pushing, it will happen for you.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky here, and tell you what, today do I have somebody special on the line for us to speak with. It's Tracy Childers. How are you, Tracy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Look, it's absolutely my pleasure. And Tracy and I were speaking prior to the call about so many different things. We are in unprecedented waters right now. The world is turned upside down. But you know what? The My Future Business Show is all about positivity. It's about practicality. It's about bringing you solutions and methodologies that you can take. Mindset. We're going to talk about a whole range of things. We're going to go through the wish list products journey that Tracy is president and co-founder of. But before we do that, Tracy, what I always like to do is start off learning a little bit about my guests. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience.
Yeah, sure. I don't know where I want to start, but I've had kind of an interesting background. I've shared this a couple times before. When I was a young kid, I had my father was an entrepreneur, and you know, did all kinds of stuff. You know, he started an insurance agency. He ran automotive repair shops. Just all kinds of things. And so I started to learn about just being an entrepreneur in general, yep. And not completely sure if that's the direction I would want to head myself. But as time went on, he actually got into investments, and he was teaching people how to invest in real estate. And he was investing in rental homes, commercial property, and everything. And that kind of evolved into him being a professional seminar speaker. And so I worked with him. And so I, way back when I was like age 11, started to see what I would consider what we call the information business, infopreneur, mm-hmm. and information publishing business. And boy, it was way different back then compared to what it is now. Back then, very, very few people really understood it. They just thought, oh, there's books for sale in the store. And that's really the gist of that mm-hmm. info business. But yep. Now we look at it now and it's just completely different. So I've had a really interesting upbringing. And as far as me personally, I currently live in Memphis, Tennessee, and I have a wife. We've been married for 26 years and we have 3 teenage kids, which are all at home right now during these unprecedented times.
Yes.
So it's been interesting.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. You know what? There's lots of things that we can talk about today, given the times that we're going through, you know, and I think mindset's going to be one of them, but your entrepreneurial journey, I think, would be very interesting as well, including routine. I think this is going to be one of those topics that I think we need to cover, because I'd love to learn a little bit more about what you're doing right now to get through each and every day, because we're all essentially going through a similar thing.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating question, Rick, especially when you say let's touch base about the mind frame or, you know, just the mental awareness, because as you put it, this is completely unprecedented right now. Okay. So for me, it's a little bit different because I kind of have been working from home on a consistent basis for, mm-hmm. You know, 20 years.
Time flies.
Yeah, 20 years. I'm trying to figure out how old my kids are. And and so for me, it's big time different from the standpoint that, you know, I lived in Park City, Utah for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I lived here in Memphis for 19 years. So a lot of people are saying, well, what's the big difference in the transition? And I said, one thing you got to understand for me is that the vast majority of my time is sitting in the same desk, in this same chair, using the same keyboard, computer, talking to the same people. I am talking to the same people on my team every day. So that sort of thing hasn't really changed for me. Mm-hmm. But what is changing is I think that the landscape of what everybody is doing, people that have never worked from home are starting to work at home.
Yes.
And so with that comes huge, huge challenges. So one thing that I mentioned, my dad was a seminar speaker, but I've also just been in the marketing field and attending conferences for a long time. And so I know a lot of people that are out there and that I've known for a long time. And when I go to these conferences, I'm usually looking for one like really big takeaway. And it might not even be big to most people, but something that makes an impact on me. And this was about, it's probably about 7 or 8 years ago. It was a guy by the name of Brad Martineau with Sixth Division and their agency, and they help people set up their marketing. Mm-hmm. And he said one quote that stuck with me forever. And he's like, isolation kills entrepreneurs. And so what's happening right now is many people that are not used to being isolated are starting to become isolated.
Yeah.
And if you don't recognize that and you don't do something differently about it, it's gonna put a really, really tough situation on you. So what can you do? I mean, you know, here you and I are having an interview remotely. I've been, you know, touching base with some of my friends that I haven't talked to. If there's somebody that just comes to your mind, you should contact
reach
them.
Out. Yeah.
And another thing that I've personally been doing is this is not really a change, but I constantly feed my mind with positive messages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually in the form of listening to audiobooks. And so I go through something all the time, and one that I just finished is probably one of the better books I've listened to in a long time, is The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins. I don't know if you've heard that, mm-hmm. Rick, but it is really good. And they're saying, you know, a lot of times people think about somebody and then they don't follow through on that action and contact them. Well, if you're thinking about somebody right now and you have at all the chance to reach out to them, that's going to help not only them, it's also going to help you in your state of mind, especially when everything's so topsy-turvy right now.
Yeah, that's wonderful feedback. I very much appreciate your insights and your views. And, you know, with the darkness comes the light. I wonder, given these the times we're going through, are there opportunities in this as well for us as a society, as individuals, as entrepreneurs, do you think?
Absolutely. There are a lot of opportunities. One of the things that I find that's a little bit challenging is that whenever you're in marketing, there's always a sense that some people are going to see your message as being salesy, mm-hmm. and too hypey, right? Yeah. And the reason that they do is that there are a lot of people that are too salesy and they're too hypey,
yes.
right? So that doesn't mean that you have to be. And so there's this weird feeling right now. I've had it myself. And it's like, is that a little bit insensitive,
yes.
if I try to send out a sales or a marketing message right now? And you have to step back. And some people are. They're just not even addressing it. So I think that the opportunity is not to, I saw somebody, the way they were, it's not to profit,
yep.
off of the current situation,
mm-hmm.
but you can still move on with your marketing efforts in terms of helping with this situation. So I'm seeing lots of companies and stuff, if they have tools, especially tools that will help people in, mm-hmm. a situation like that, it's kind of a real help to people that they found your message. So don't hold back on that. Don't, but you know, then you start to hear people are like, they're hoarding toilet paper or masks, and then they're hyping it and like selling it 10 times. That's just wrong, right? I mean, that is just wrong.
Absolutely.
So I think the opportunity is really to help people and get your message out to all the people that need it.
Because this is a show that focuses on startup entrepreneurs and existing small to medium-sized business owners, Tracy. And right now, this is a message of hope. This is a message that within the start of every tunnel, there's an end of every tunnel, and there should be a brighter light at the end of the day. Now, part of that is, you know, understanding that right now we have to follow certain rules. Now, if everybody does that, what's your view? What do you think will happen in the next 6 months?
Ooh, that's a good one, Rick. I don't think that anyone really knows, obviously, because I think that the situation that we're in right now is very, very different than it was 3, maybe even 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I think that where we're headed is that there's starting to be a lot of really good information. And people that have been building up these platforms to get out information. And I listened to a podcast recently that my wife found, and he just really broke it down. So basically on TV, you got all the CDC people, and they're saying this, and they're saying this. And it's like, for many of us, it just, especially teenagers, right? We come in one ear and go right out the other. And we're like, you know, we're in the... You know, a lot of people, honestly, in the U.S., I think, well, can't we just buy our way out of this? You know, it's like, well, you know, running out of beds. Why don't they just manufacture more beds? And then when you really step back and you really start to spend time in understanding the severity of the situation, then you start to think about it a little bit differently. And one thing, when you say, what's it going to be like in 6 months? I think that the key takeaway for me was, you know, I never was a big history guy in school. I did terrible with history. I did good with math. But now I'm fascinated with history because history, I saw it. The way it was presented to me was you can learn from somebody else's mistake.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, big deal, right? Had they really twisted it in just a sense to say, if you look at what people have done in the past, you have a better chance of predicting the future and becoming more successful.
Yes.
Same thing, really, but it would have changed my mindset. So what I see is in the next 6 months, people are gonna start to look at things a little more seriously, and they're gonna say, give me all the details. I really need to know. They're gonna spend more time thinking it through, and they're gonna make more accurate decisions. And so one of the things that most people will remember is 9/11, you know, and I was saying, well, how, you know, it used to be that we could just walk out to the gate and sit there and wait for people to get off the plane and give them a hug and everything. And now it's like, that is so different for us now. Like, I can't even believe that you guys used to do that.
And
we did it all the time.
Yep.
And then the other thing from this one particular podcast, Rick, this is really, really important. Because if you look at the spread and the chart and at the rate at which things are spreading right now, and I don't want to make it all about this thing right now, but it's because most people aren't really thinking it through.
Yeah.
And myself included, right? I didn't really think it was going to be as big of a deal. And they're like, well, you know, things really slow down in China. So we're just a certain amount. The big difference is when China had their fifth case of COVID-19, they put drastic measures into place like we're doing right now in the US. And the huge, huge difference is that nobody thought it was weird that they would put those measures into place because they all went through SARS.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I understand. This is a big deal. So when you ask me what's happening in 6 months, I think you're going to see more and more people trying to make more educated decisions. And I think that they're also going to spend more time trying to be more prepared for the future, as opposed to just not worrying about it.
Thank you, Tracy. I know that this is an important topic that we need to all talk about. And this is part of the platform's reason today is to get that message out there, but also, Tracy, to focus on your entrepreneurial journey and to help educate and maybe give some insights as to what it's like to be a young entrepreneur just starting out, no idea, but you have this idea. You know, I'd love to talk about the genesis, that spark moment that you come up with Wishlist Member.
Yeah, well, how much time do we have?
How long's a piece of string?
Well, yeah, so it's been a really, really interesting journey. And I mentioned the fact that I had a father who was an entrepreneur. And so when I left college, I was faced with some decisions. Do I want to go out and I want to get a job working for a company, mm-hmm. or do I want to have an opportunity to start a business? And he was looking at an opportunity right there. And so I decided that I passed up on all the job offers that I had and basically went and lived at home with my parents and worked on starting a new company. And probably worked for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months before I ever got paid. And it wasn't a big deal at the time because, you know, I didn't have any expenses. But what I learned is probably the biggest thing when I go back and I look at that situation is like, what did you learn from that? Mm-hmm. The biggest answer is people that start businesses and they go out and they become successful, they don't have all the answers. They just do stuff. And so for me, being a young business person right out of college, I had a degree in marketing. I knew nothing at all about marketing. Mm-hmm. I used to ask my dad, like, well, what are we going to do? What do we do next? Like, what do we do? What's going to happen then?
Oh, dear Oracle, please guide me.
Yeah. And he's like, tell me everything that we got to do and I'll do it. I'll go out and do it. He said, I can't tell you. He goes, I don't know. He said, I've been in business for a long time, but I've never started this business. But what I will tell you is it's kind of like going through a fog and I can't see the whole big picture of mm-hmm. what it is out there. He goes, but I know what we need to do to get a little bit further. And then once we get there, we're going to be that much further along. Now I'll be able to see a little bit further out. And you just keep pushing your way. Now, back to me in terms of my journey with Wishlist Member. I started it with a good friend of mine named Stu McLaren. We Yes. were business partners and had been longtime friends. And we were looking to fill a void. There was a gap in the marketplace of what people were wanting and what was available. And I had been building software and that was always kind of my model. What's everybody talking about right now? What's difficult to do and how can we fulfill that need and make it a little bit easier for people to use? Mm-hmm. And that's what we would usually do. So here's and I won't spend too much time on that. And I'll tell you basically part of our journey.
Yeah,
and that's because we have been building Wishlist Member for over 11 years now, and you know, right now I'm starting to get more and more exposure. But that's how it was when we first started. When we first started, we were the new kids on the block, and everybody wanted to know what were you doing, and we were really growing, and then our growth kind of started to stall, right? Yeah, it started to get stagnant. And then we started going down. And it has been a real, real journey to make it through that. And so in order to get through a difficult time, you really got to look at, like, what is it that's making things so difficult? And I knew there were certain things, and the biggest part of our situation was that we had built a solution 10 years ago, and we kind of kept going on top of that solution, on top of that solution, and things were changing. And it's like, man, I used to tell Stu, I was like, we're not really riding around on a jet ski anymore. It's kind of like we're trying to steer the Titanic. And when you're steering a big ship, you can't really move as fast. So it was just downright scary. So we buckled down and we rebuilt our application. And I knew that we had to do it. And I felt like I had been putting it off for a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually I just said, we got to stop. In fact, Rick, this, most people don't know this. I actually had my team and I were working like at least a year on another product, mm-hmm. a completely different product. And I was like, you know what? As much as it hurts to do this, we have to put this whole project on hold. Which essentially, you know, now that's like 3 years ago. So it's basically every bit of work that we did on that project is completely scrapped, because I knew that we had to focus on what was most important to our business. And that was Wishlist Member. And so sometimes, you know, in there's a book by Gregory McEwen mm-hmm. called Essentialism.
Yep.
And he talks about a concept that's called sunk cost bias. And so sometimes you spend a lot of time on one particular thing and you're like, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. But you're like, it might not be the right thing to keep going on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we were at. And now, so when I decided I'm going to drop that and shift my gears and put it on everything that was most important, then you got to the point where we were building this thing, and I thought it would take us a year to get that out the door, and it ended up taking us 2.5 years to finish it. And believe me, man, it was really, really hard to get through that, because I knew we had to finish it, but you had all kinds of things like, is it just too late, you know, or like, mm-hmm. do we just have too many competitors? And there's something inside me that just doesn't, I just don't like to give up. I guess I've just kind of always been that way.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't give up. And one book that was really key for me, simple book by Seth Godin. It's called The Dip. I almost said The Tipping Point. And that's from it. Called The Dip.
Yes, I've heard of it.
And he talks about when you have to make these hard decisions, sometimes you do need to give up.
Yeah.
And he had a really good point, but sometimes you just can't give up and you have to be educated on what not to do. So I know that was a long way of answering that question, but it's
wonderful.
Been a long, long journey. And I guess the reason why I really wanted to share some of that is that I think sometimes people see companies and they look good and they say, man, they've got it made and they were successful. And it's usually because people have just been pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's kind of where we're at.
Well, this is the thing, Tracy. I love doing this because this is about two individuals, two human beings with 2 feet and a heartbeat more often than not, talking about the real deal behind the flashy websites and what the end customer actually experiences. There's actually things that need to happen. There's innovation, there's market and competitor analysis, and all these hidden things that a lot of people don't necessarily understand, nor do they really care about. But, you know, this is so powerful. Thank you so very much. Now, on the upside, I'd love to talk about some of the positive experiences that you've had. In fact, your first positive experience when you knew that you were onto something and how it made you feel.
Wow. So are you talking about just Wishlist Member in
just
general?
Any as an entrepreneur for you, when Wishlist Member went to market and people were starting to buy, click that buy button, you know, where were you and how did you feel and what happened?
Well, I'll tell you what, let me back up just a little bit because when I first started building software, and I first did a joint venture with a friend of mine named Armin Morin, and it was, he had a big following, a big list, and I got the product built, but it was like we were partners on it. And so when we took that out to his list, it was like an instant success. And it was like, man, this is just super exciting, right? Then fast forward a bit, and then I said, okay, now here's my first other project. When I say other, meaning this is on my own, And when you do something on your own and you don't have somebody else's list that you can count on, it's totally different. And so when I had put this, I was starting to create a buzz around this product. And just to give you context, it was a piece of software that converted video into online video, flash video. And then all of a sudden this thing came that was turns out to be a pretty big competitor of ours. It was called like YouTube or something like that. And this is back in 2004.
that.
It was like, yeah, but you can't do this in YouTube. You can do this in our software, but it was that feeling when I put the website up, and then I put just it's coming soon, but instead of it's coming soon, I just put a little opt-in box. If you want me to let you know whenever we're ready, put your email in there. And so then all of a sudden, I start getting names. Like people are giving me their email addresses. Like, hey, this actually works,
It
right?
works.
And so, yeah. And so then I start to build up this little list, and it wasn't a big list, but it was a good product. And then I put the product out there. There's a feeling that you can't really describe when somebody sees your hard work and they actually buy it, right? And so one of the things that is very, very different for me is I've never been like a big product launch formula guy. I love that concept because I think it's a really good way of getting a product. But I have done lots of promotions that follow that product launch formula. But for me, I'm the type of guy that is like, I want to build something where people can buy it all the time. And so I've sold things like I've sold something online like every day for the last 15 or 17 years or something crazy like that. And so when we went to market with Wishlist Member, and I was working with Stu, I can remember his excitement on it because he had been doing some different things, and it was kind of it was his first move. He had done a lot of big projects. He had done some stuff with Russell Brunson and all these, and he was even I think he was an affiliate manager for Dan Kennedy. I mean, he had some major
GKIC.
credentials. And so he had all these credentials, but he hadn't shifted that gear at that time to saying, I'm going to build a product and then I'm going to sell this product over and over and over. And so to see his excitement when we first got started, it was so infectious to us, and it was exciting. And now where we're at now, he left the company and we remain good friends, but with us rebuilding our software to this new 3.0 version, and seeing how we had gotten feedback of people that saying, "Oh, it's too complicated," and all we did was we focused. Me personally, I guess I focused on the negativity, and I stopped looking. I stopped for a while. I started to forget how our old version was still making a positive impact in a lot of people's lives. And I think that that's very, very common, that we have a tendency to focus on the negative and tune out the positive, and you just can't do that. And so now, with spending all that time and energy and just having that feeling of like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through it, and like maybe even maybe I should just give up. And then when you get to the other side and you see that people are like, wow, and they start to praise what you did, and then they start to focus, and then now you got all this momentum and saying the stuff that you did has made a huge impact on me. That's the stuff that you got to keep striving for. Because if you keep pushing and you keep pushing, it will happen for you. And I've heard so many stories. I saw one guy had a story. This is a guy like, I don't know all the details, Rick, but he was like 19. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, man, I've been trying to put a funnel together. And he's like, I did 37 webinars, something crazy like that. 37 webinars with zero sales. Wow. 37.
Something wrong.
And he kept going. And then something happened and something got botched up. And he had like six people sign up for this webinar. Six people. So he was selling a product for $1,000. And he changed something and he sold three. He just went from 37 times making zero sales. And then all of a sudden he only had six people show up and he had a 50% close rate. And he's like, I just made $3,000.
Yeah, wow.
And he's like, that's the sort of thing. That wasn't really a small win, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, that was $3,000 is not really a small win. Mm-hmm. It was a huge win. But what he did was he's like, it gave him the energy to keep going. And I would say if you're getting started up, just look for any small win, and the small win does not have to mean it's something of monetary value.
Yeah.
If I were starting right now, I would be focusing on getting people to opt into my list and giving them some value for free.
Yeah.
And then I would be creating something that I was going to give away for free, just so that they could, their payment would be their feedback, because you need to find out what other people want. And I think that's simple. That sounds very, very simple,
very simple,
but it's a formula for anybody that's getting started. Find out what people need, find out how you can fulfill that need, and then get their feedback on how you can make it better, and keep making it better, and rinse and repeat, and just keep going until you take it to the next level.
See, this is that idea of, validation, isn't it? You know, it doesn't have to be a mm-hmm. currency. It's there are all sorts of validation currency, and I just have to say, this call is just wonderful. Just being able to have a chat with you, laid back, relaxing, and just putting it all out there is the reason the My Future Business Show is so popular. And I just have to thank you for sharing what you do. Now, when people want to find Wishlist Member, where are they going to find, and what is the process once they purchase this wonderful product?
Yeah, so thanks for asking, Rick. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I mean, I really think that providing value like this for people that are getting started is a huge, huge plus for us. We're in a situation where it's the best time in the world to get started as an entrepreneur, especially online. And so thank you for that. As far as me and us, if you go to wishlistmember.com, it'll actually redirect it. Along sort of what our company is called Wishlist Products. So it actually goes to member.wishlistproducts.
Yep.
And we have an option to buy the software. Currently, we sell it in, it's based on how many domain names that you want to run the site on. Mm-hmm. We have a one site license, three site license, 10 and 50. 50 is really for people that are trying to build sites for other people. Mm-hmm. And so you can read all about it, and then you place a purchase, and then you download it, and then you install it as a WordPress plugin on your website. And we're super excited because we've been at it for 11 plus years, but with this rebuild that I was talking about, it's given me so much excitement because I'm kind of pushing things in a bit of a different direction. And it's really getting exciting to us because we're seeing the power of the way other people are using it. And so many of our customers are using it for such incredibly good uses, like mm-hmm. getting the message. I had a friend recently that said, hey, I'm going to use it to help my sister out with her preschool, because, you know, it's a small preschool, they can't meet either. So he's just spinning up an online school for them to use some technology. And so awesome. I just get excited when I see people using our technology for good things like that.
And you know what, the world's wide and wonderful. There's lots of opportunities for us collectively to make a difference through Wishlist member. Tracy, I just have to say one more time, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.